City Current. Produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or tune in to Radio Access 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to City Current. I'm Mary Van Sickle, and we're here in the studios at Dakota Media Access, and it's Wednesday, February 5th. Jim Neubauer is here from the city of Mandan.
Good morning, Mary. Bright sunny day out.
Hey.
Weather's been awesome the last couple of weeks, so
don't jinx us now.
No jinxes.
Something could happen to change that very quickly. First of all, I just want to say congratulations to Jim Neubauer. Earlier this month, the beginning of the month, you hit your 20-year mark with the city of Mandan as their administrator.
Yep, 20 years starting February 1st. So.
Did you get a gold watch or
no gold watch?
Gold shades, anything like that?
Congratulations or condolences. We're not sure which sometimes, but no, I've been happy to work for some very great mayors and commissioners, and the whole community has been awesome.
A lot of progress that you've shepherded through in your years, too.
A lot of changes in the last 20 years, and we look for many more in the upcoming years, too. So,
well, you and I. Our 10 years are pretty similar. Right. I hit in the beginning of January, 20 years
and
here.
And congratulations to you, too.
Thank you very much. Woo-hoo. Yes.
Now that we got that out of the way.
So our mission is to talk about the city commission meeting last night. It was a pretty short agenda.
Yes.
A few items we pulled out that we want to talk about. But before we go to the city commission meeting last night, wanted to talk about a report that the city has published in the last couple of weeks, your business and community development 2019 update, your report for that.
An annual report that, Ellen Huber and Carrie Moore have worked on. And like I said, it's a great sense of, okay, what happened in 2019? What kind of activities went on in the business development and communications world? You can find it on our website. A lot of great graphs and historical information for you to look at and compare. And like I said, a lot of good things went on last year. So we're pretty happy to put those out.
Yeah. So, and you can, cityofmandan.com, you can find that report pretty easily. Go in there. It's really pretty. Great pictures, progress, shows some of the new businesses. Also showed some renovations before and after pictures. I was like looking at those.
A lot of history in there and a lot of, like I said, we've had several new restaurants that have opened in the last year and several other Renaissance Zone projects and things like that. We're approaching, I think we've had 73 Renaissance Zone projects, if I remember the number correctly, over the last 15 years. And it is, you can renew the Renaissance Zone, and that will be, Ellen will be starting that process here in the next couple months, so that we'd like to get that renewal done within probably the next 6 months.
And to do that, you'll need to go to, as I understand it, the school board, the park district, and Morton County.
And you do a public hearing, and you do, okay, do we need to keep the same properties in there that we have? Do we want to expand the zone? Do we want to add some additionals? So again, part of that public input process, and we'll be starting that shortly.
Yeah. I love the before and after pictures. It kind of reminds me of like HGTV, all the home improvement shows where you get to watch the reveal and
that's
the pretty pictures.
One of the fun things about in the business development world, you have somebody come in and buy a building and they take what may have been, if your home, if you've been in it for 20 years, it might need some renovations. Yeah. We talk about 20 years.
Yeah.
It might need some renovation work. Somebody comes in, buys it. They put a new spin on it, and you see what it looks like now. And like a lot of that has happened in our downtown in the Renaissance Zone, especially, that we are especially proud of us to be able to report the work that the private citizens have done.
Yeah, it's a great investment in the community. Yep.
And so it's on our website. And also, if you would like us to mail you a hard copy, we certainly will do that. Mm. You can send myself or Ellen an email. Go on our website and grab it, and we can email you a copy of that if you'd like,
or City of Mandan,
hard copy you.
Cityofmandan.com. All that information is available there.
Yep.
So let's talk about the commission meeting last night. One of the things under the consent agenda, an item under the consent agenda, it did not get pulled for discussion, but we wanted to talk about it because I was a little confused by it. Street improvement district projects, which are requesting special assessment funding, was discussed, and a deadline was established for those.
We have started doing that for about the last 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. 7 years ago, we ran into an issue where we had a lot of developers coming in asking for street paving projects, water and sewer, and things like that to be done, and it was August. And in North Dakota, we have, you know, winter and we have construction season. So, and sometimes the dates on that are a little goofy. Mm-hmm. But when we have a request come in August that says we want our streets paved in this development, really from a public bidding standpoint, we have to bid that project out for 30 days. You take a couple of weeks for signing contracts. You've got another couple of weeks for the contractors to mobilize. And it has to fit into their book of work, too. So with this deadline, we say, okay, by June 30th, we need to know and be out for bids on any street projects that are requested.
Okay.
And these are special assessments. Again, you can assess kind of the above ground work for the water and sewer on the below ground is usually paid by the developer. The above ground is can be special assessed.
Okay.
So we will take that and we will, Justin and his crew will send those notices out to the engineering firms and let them make them aware.
So they will be notified officially.
Yep.
All right. Sounds good.
Again, it's to prevent some expectations are, gee, in August, why can't we get our street paved in the end of August or first part of September? Yeah. And the process, it just doesn't work that fast. Mm-hmm. And there's many reasons for that.
Yeah, makes sense. So June 30th is the deadline.
June 30th is the deadline.
Yep. All right. Under new business, there was an item in there for concerning the police department. And this was the COPS hiring program grant.
Right.
A permission was given to go ahead and apply for this grant.
Yep.
This is for what, two police officers?
Yeah, the police department put in a request to apply for two new positions. And these are COPS grants. So it's a federal grant program, I believe. Chief Ziegler told me there's $155 million available nationwide, if I got the number right, which, you know, isn't a lot. It'll be a competitive process. So our job will be to write the best grant that we can.
Yeah.
And if we receive that grant, we'll be, I think we have a March 11th deadline to apply. And we hope to receive notification in June or July on whether we're successful in that application or not.
And I don't think I've seen this happen before. Is this something that's been out there for a while? Or
COPS grants have been out there. The grants are out there, but sometimes there's no funding attached to it.
Oh,
and so
that makes a difference.
Yeah,
yes.
it makes no sense in applying if there's no money available. I think maybe 10 years ago or so, we had applied for additional COP grant monies. We were successful in that. So we have, you know, experienced this before. The local match on this is 25%. And so of our 25% local match for two positions, we're probably looking between $35,000 and $40,000 a year, which it would cost the city.
Okay.
The rest, the other 75% would be picked up by
the grant.
By the grant.
So you say March, mid-March is the deadline to apply. When do you expect potentially to be notified of whether you're successful?
Hopefully in June.
Oh, okay.
And which we would probably look at, again, we would, if we were to hire folks yet in 2020, we'd have to find the money to do that because our budget for 2020 is already set.
Okay.
So we'd have to do a budget amendment. In talking with Chief, we're probably looking at, we can, in his discussions with the grant people, you could hire in 2021.
Okay.
So if we are successful, we'd probably look at, we need to, you know, get the details of the grant worked out. We need to, you know, make arrangements for a hiring process, which we already have in place, and then bring some, hopefully we're successful in the two folks, and bring them on board in 2021, in the first part. So
we talked earlier about the capacity of the police department. I know that I've heard some rumblings about that. There's been, I believe, possibly letters to the editor concerning the capacity of the police department, and that there was some difficulty getting and keeping police officers.
Yeah, we're.
But you and I talked earlier, and you said that's no longer an issue.
Right now, I think we are fully staffed and have been for, I'll say, quite some time. Because in this lifetime, when you're fully staffed for 6 months in the police department, it seems like a lifetime. And I think we've been so fully staffed for a little bit longer than that. We made some changes to our retirement plan a few years ago.
I recall
that.
And
we made some changes to the way we pay health insurance for our officers. So if rather than us just paying for a single plan and then a portion of a family plan until you've been with the city for 7 years. Right now, if you're a sworn officer coming into the Mandan PD and you need a family health plan, we would pick up 100% of that cost.
That's substantial.
From the first year.
That's really valuable.
So,
benefit.
It's roughly equates to about $1,000 more a month.
Yeah.
For an employee starting out, that's a significant difference, and it makes a difference if you have a full family plan if one is needed. So
absolutely,
those changes have helped tremendously.
Okay.
And like I said, our staff is, I think we're fully staffed right now, and I'll knock on wood and hope we remain that way for a while. So we've got some really good folks that we've been able to bring on, and we're grateful for that.
Well, you'll let us know the results of the grant application, and maybe we'll talk about it again.
Look to us in June or July, and we should know more.
Sounds good. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll be back then, right?
Absolutely.
Also under new business last night was a fairly lengthy discussion, and this is concerning the raw water intake project. Mm-hmm. You and I have talked about it many times here on City Current. It's been in front of the commission for years. This is a big project of a new water intake area along the Missouri.
Big and expensive project,
as
most of them are, and we went out for bids on this project, on phase one of the project, which includes the building of a building to house our pumps and also putting the a couple of pipes out into the channel of the Missouri River. Mm-hmm. Where we go down underneath the riverbed and then come up. Bids came in quite a bit higher than we anticipated.
And we talked about it when it happened.
We had really strong interest prior to the bids being let, and in turn, I think we had budgeted roughly or estimated about $11 million for that. And I think the low, we had one bidder, and that bid was roughly $20 million. So significantly more money, significantly less bidders. We rejected that bid. And now it's we're going to kind of, what they call value engineer the project. We've had a number of conversations with contractors. Why didn't you bid the project?
Mm-hmm.
What are we learning? And so we may come back with a different bid package.
Item last night for the commission to consider, and they acted upon and approved it, was an amendment to AE2S, the vendor that you're using to work along with your engineering department on this to expand their services, and it was approved. So they will now move forward again, as you explained, but also act as a supervisory role during the implementation of the project. That's the big change here.
Kind of one of the change here is to, we're going to take another look if we need to separate this bid package into maybe we've got some real specialty work and we're able to put that bid out for the installation of the pipe under the river. And we've got some specialty work in what we call the caisson. There'll be a 40-foot hole dug in order to put all of the pumps and other associated pipes in it. Maybe there's a specialty contractor for that. So in order to separate, we may need to separate those bid components out. And at that point in time, you're not looking for one general contractor. You're looking for maybe multiple contractors.
Yeah, it does put the burden on one or two contractors. Yep. You've got multiple contractors working in harmony. But as a result of that, you need someone in a supervisory role that can monitor
and that's
all
what,
of this action.
The engineering firm will do. Mm-hmm. They'll have a little more of that work to do because on a general contractor, your general is handling all that. Under this, if you've got, rather than two different bids, you may have three or four different bids. Creates a little more work for your engineering firm, but hopefully that additional work translates into additional money, translates into lower bid prices, so the cost of your overall project hopefully goes down.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed that this is going to come back in a positive way and look like it's now going to move forward in implementation.
Yeah, we'll look probably a month to 6 weeks to come back, and they'll have a recommendation for the board to say, all right, we think if we split this project up into these three or four pieces, this makes sense. Again, they've had many conversations with contractors on, interest was really strong pre-bid in November, and then came down to, alrighty, put your paperwork in and put your bid in. And there were some other projects that had come up across the country that we realized that they said, that might be more favorable than this project. So there's a lot of moving parts in this whole project.
Weren't they also influenced by the fact that the water levels are so high now, both groundwater and the river levels?
Absolutely, and that's one of the big variables in this project is when you're digging a 40-foot hole deep right next to the river channel, you're going to need to dewater. You're going to need to do a lot of things. And the uncertainty to where the river level will be when this project starts, in the big scheme of things, if we are successful, we award bids in the middle of the summer, work can start next fall, in the fall of 2020. We'll have a much better idea on where what the Missouri is looking like then.
Well, there's a lot of people looking at this project. So it's not for a lack of planning here.
We've been working on this for probably at least 10 years, maybe. We started having issues at our water intake back in, you know, before our time, before the year 2000, when, you know, the river channel moves from the west bank to the east bank and then back. And then, so what we're looking for is a more reliable and stable source of water so that we don't have those concerns. And there's some things that are going on north of the water intake. You know, the Heskett station will be going out of commission, and really they're taking in a whole bunch of water for that plant, and they're spitting out a whole bunch of water, which is kind of keeping the channel in front of our intake open. And with some serious changes like that, like I said, the time is now to find another location for intake. A lot of moving parts.
Yes. Continues to move. Yes. And we'll talk about it again as it comes back. So that was really kind of recap the highlights of last night. So
that's pretty short meeting last night. I think we were a half hour or a little bit longer than that. And
everybody got out early and went to dinner. I don't know. Pizza, I'm
some
not
other
sure.
things going on Tuesday night for them to get home and watch the State of the Union address,
I guess. Right.
And
that was last night as well. But we wanted to bring up a couple of things. One of them being it's an election year, and you've got the mayor and two city commissioners that will be up for re-election in the June primary.
As you said, Mayor Helbling, Commissioner Davis, and Commissioner Brown. So we have three spots on the city commission that are up for election. I think the county has two, with Commissioner Bruce Strinden and Commissioner Cody Schultz have indicated they're not going to be running for re-election. There are some park board spots open, and there are some school board spots open. So, you know, now is the time if you are looking to get involved in local politics.
Right.
You know, and they say government functions best at the local level, and that's where you can be most influential in your decision making and things that you want to see move forward.
It's a great way to serve the community. It is work. There's no doubt about that. It takes time from your family and your work, I think that most people who are sitting in those positions are doing it for the right reasons. And you know, the petitions are available. You can print them. You can get on your website.
Go on the City of Mandan's website, and you can print them if you like. We've got links to the Secretary of State's website. If you would like us to put a package of that information for you together, you know, you can call us, and Carrie Moore will put that information together for you. Give her a call. Send her an email. Give her a little bit of time so that we know when you're coming, and we'll have some information ready for you when you arrive.
And you mentioned earlier that signatures are required for City Commission.
Correct.
County Commission.
County Commission and Park Board.
And the Park District.
Yep. I think the School Board, you can go up to the Brave Center, and they will give you a packet of information which you fill out. I don't believe you need to obtain signatures, but... Yeah. And generally, there are some different requirements on how many signatures you need.
Okay.
From the city standpoint, for the park board in the city, we always say the maximum we can ask for is 300 signatures. We ask folks to get 300, even if you may only need 267. Because, like you and I have talked, some people who will sign a petition may live in the county, or they may have Mandan as their address. But really, it is a county address. So we look through those petitions and spot check. And
they have to be verified.
Yep.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, a page of signatures gets thrown out because not all that information has been completed. So again, your name, your address, zip code, and the date are the most important things to put on those petitions to get signed.
And the deadline for submitting those petitions and your paperwork to be considered. I think it's early April.
Early
April 4th,
I think April 6th. April 4th seems to stick in my mind.
Yeah.
But again, all that information is our website.
Yeah.
And we encourage folks, again, this is a great way to get involved in local politics. And you don't have to declare a party to run.
Right.
And that, you know, is certainly encouraging to some folks. And like I said, you're there to do it what you think is in the best interest of the community.
And it would be the primary election for Morton County commissioners. The depending upon how many are running, how many will move forward to the November 3rd general election will depend, and that'll be the final vote for county commission. But city parks and schools is finalized at the primary election.
Right. So city parks and schools, election is in June, primary for the county. And in turn, if you are successful and you're one of the candidates, you are seated, I think, the third Tuesday of June, and is when you would officially take over.
Okay.
And for the county, you would move on to a primary in November and I think take office January 1 of 2021. Okay. So there's some different dates in there to,
sure,
to be concerned about.
All right. The other thing we wanted to bring up is something that you did report on last night at the commission,
yep,
meeting, and that's an open house that's coming up next week. We're here,
right,
on February 5th recording, but this open house is at the depot on February 11th.
February 11th from 5 to 7:30 at the, mm-hmm, Mandan Depot. As most folks know, we've been working on some plans to expand the library and some enhancements to Dykstra Park and Heritage Plaza and Heritage Park. And we're at the point where we have some pretty strong ideas and we're close to being finalized, but this is kind of like one last opportunity for the public to come in and say, hey, we like what you're doing. And this will be a phased-in approach.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, you know, improvement. You know, we've got so many things that happen in the summertime. And like we said earlier, North Dakota, two seasons, one construction, one winter.
Yeah.
And in order to construct, you need to do a lot of that work in the summertime. But we also have, you know, a couple little things going on like Buggies and Blues and the rodeo and
just little
events,
yeah,
you know, nightly
concerts.
4th of
July, yep, major parade, yes.
Yep, there's nightly concerts in the park and things,
yeah,
like that we need to work around. So like I said, we hope we'll have poster boards up. We'll have
pictures.
Pictures. The architect
people
will be there.
People need pictures to look at. Absolutely.
Yep.
I know,
so
I do.
Joe from Bartlett West, Wendy from Stantec, who's the landscape architect, will be in there to kind of show what are we looking at for changes in, mm-hmm, Dykstra Park. We think it operates. It's Mandan is one of the few communities in the state. They're very fortunate to have so much green space on their main street.
Yeah.
It's just awesome,
mm-hmm,
and we use it to our max. We've had a steering committee that's been working on this, made up of library folks, Buggies and Blues, Musicians Association folks, the Mandan Progress Organization. We've met with Art in the Park folks, so that say if we make some changes here, how will that affect Art in the Park and make sure it doesn't, it's an enhancement and they're not detriments. And
yeah,
so again, we've gotten great response. We think that there's some pretty exciting things that can happen here.
So you've had a lot of partners,
mm-hmm,
that have been involved in this
very
project
much
from the beginning, but this really is an opportunity, this open house, for the public to come in and check it out,
yep,
and look at what the ideas are. This is one of those moments, I think it's kind of, come and look at this, because later on, these things get built, you don't have a lot of opportunity to make change.
Yep, we've been at this since probably August,
mm-hmm,
and September of this year with a steering committee, you know, and it all got started with the, you know, the very generous grant from Energy Transfer of $3 million, which will kind of get this project going.
Mm-hmm.
Early estimates were going to be, there may be a little more than $3 million that's needed to implement everything, but that's why we're looking at a phased in approach to it and some additional funding sources. So
I think it's important because this is really going to be very visible.
Yep.
A very visible part of the downtown area, and it's really going to set a tone.
Right.
And that's important for a community. It's kind of, I liken it to a difference of going back to home improvements again. It's the difference between getting a new furnace in,
yep,
your house, which nobody sees, and it's not that much fun, or the difference between getting all new furniture in a,
yep,
room. You know, I mean, it really sets a tone, and it will also serve as the backdrop for all of these events that go on in Mandan. There's so many,
yep,
great events downtown.
And it's, like I said, one of the things that kind of piqued our interest when Jackie Hawes was giving her library report a couple years ago. And I didn't realize, but when she threw a number up there that said there's 94,000 or 97,000 visitors. Now that might be, I might go in there 10 times and I'm counting it as 10.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize the magnitude of the use of the library, and a lot of people are saying, well, with the internet and everything else, no one uses the library anymore.
Yeah.
And I think libraries are becoming more important as a community space.
Oh,
and
absolutely,
the additions,
they're evolving.
Yep.
I mean, it's a different time for libraries.
A lot of great things, a lot,
mm-hmm,
of great programming going on, and that with the connection to the green space in the park.
Oh.
It's a really nice,
it's a very
marriage,
unique,
yep,
locations down there that they sit in such,
yep,
proximity to each other. So again, the open house for the library and Dykstra Heritage Parks,
yep,
improvement projects. Open house Tuesday, February 11th, 5:30 to 7 at,
yep,
the depot. Is there a presentation, a formal presentation happening?
I don't think there will be. Okay. There will be a formal presentation, but again, we'll have a lot of poster boards up, a lot of drawings, pictures come in, and the steering committee will be there. As if you have questions of us, please ask.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's a chance to say, we on the steering committee are pretty excited about what's been drawn up and changes, and it will be change. You know, so change is always difficult for folks to we haven't wanted to mess up. Well, Art in the Park sets up the tents this way every year, and it works out really well, which is good. But is it time to
shift
a little bit and change and enhance for the better?
Absolutely.
And like I said, that's what we're trying to do with all of these improvements, is make things better than they are today.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yes.
So we'll look forward to the results of that open house, and some final drawings and designs will be done, and then we'll talk about it again.
Yep, you and I will talk in March, I believe, and I think we'll be able to bring some pictures in and show you what things are looking like so
far. Sounds good. Okay. All right. Thanks for being here, Jim.
And thanks for having us, always.
And thank you for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit cityofmandan.com or call 701-667-3215. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you would like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on Radio Access 102.5 FM. It's also available as a podcast on radioaccess.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.